Hi there, Love microphone.
Talk Radio.
Hi there, microphone.
Well, good morning or good afternoon. This is George Gamond, and welcome to Friday the 13th, and also Valentine's Day weekend. So I thought we'll just kind of keep this show a little bit more fun today. We're going to have some fun. We're going to talk about Friday the 13th, got some articles on it. I posted a little in the chat room a word that's a phobia for Friday the 13th, and I don't even want to try to pronounce that word, but I do have the pronunciation for you about that word. So we'll do that. We'll talk about Friday the 13th, where it came from, if anybody knows. We'll talk a little bit about love. Well, yeah, love. I got an article or two. So if you want to call in, if you want a love reading as related to what your soul has to say about love, we'll do that. So we'll have some fun. Yeah, so yeah, call in. Or if you have, really. Spacing out here for a moment. What am I doing today? I got a bunch of stuff to do, and I picked up a bunch of articles. I have this article. It's called the this is kind of a cool thing. And I know you guys are like, well, I don't know about this stuff, but it's the ultimate aphrodisiac menu. What to eat and skip to keep the sexy and sexy time. Now, this is for Valentine's Day. Obviously, it's not for Friday the 13th, but that's a good one. And then also I have one on erectile dysfunction. All you ever wanted to know, you know, if you got the problem yourself, or you know somebody has, you got a partner potentially has the problem. Yeah, I guess that would be good for women to know what is the problem for men, why they have the problem. So it's a quiz on erectile dysfunction. So yeah, so we'll do that if we get to it. I just want to have some fun today. So if you want to call in, you want to talk about love. That's cool. Let's talk about love. And we'll talk about, what else did I have today? Yeah, a whole thing on Friday the 13th. So I think I'll jump into the Friday the 13th unless you have questions or you need a soul reading of some kind today related to, I think the lead up to the show was love and Friday the 13th. So that's what we're going to do today. Love and Friday the 13th. How fun is that, huh? So, let me jump right in. You can call in. We can talk about your particular love issues, what your soul's saying about you and love. Ooh, love. Isn't it amazing? Yes, it's amazing, isn't it? Okay, so let's do Friday the 13th, and you can call in or you can write questions in the chat room about love and what your soul has to say. And I really emphasize this idea, what is an empath? Because I'm reading you, and Spirit's helping me read you, and I'm reading you and what's going inside you, you know, what's where your ego is, and where your personality is, and where your soul's at. And so that's what I do. And I channel this information for you. That's what I'm all about. I've kind of come to understand that more and more. So let's talk about these things, but let's deal with... you know, if you're a good empath, you learn to do it, and you learn to channel that energy for good. That's the cool thing about it. You learn to help people with it. It's not frightening. Okay, so Friday the 13th. There's a couple different articles. One is from NPR, public radio, and I thought this is really good. Oh, wait a minute. Oops, that's not the one I wanted. Oh, there's a couple of them here. Okay, no, this is the one I wanted. This is a better one. Okay, Friday the 13th, this is from Time Magazine, 13 Things to Know About Friday the 13th. Okay, so let's go through this. It's don't step on any sidewalk cracks. Yeah, remember the old TV show Monk, where Monk would just, you know, like Friday the 13th must have been the worst day in the world for Monk, because, you know, he would freak out. Okay, don't step on cracks, walk under ladders or mirrors, encounter any black cats. I just posted on Facebook a really cool video by Stevie Ray Vaughan, Superstition, where a black cat kind of gets him. It's kind of an omen, but let's don't go there. There are 13 things to know about why this day is considered ominous. Some superstitions about Friday the 13th are rooted in the guest list of the last supper. Judas was the 13th guest at the table. And Jesus was crucified on a Friday. Coincidence? Coincidence? So that's some of the thought behind Friday the 13th. Okay, on Friday the 13th in 1307, thousands of Knights of the Templar were arrested on orders from King Philip IV of France because of suspicions that there was a secret initiation rituals made them enemies of the faith. After years of torture, they were burned at the stake. And Dan Brown and the Divinity Code popularized the link between Knights Templar and Friday the 13th. Friday was considered an unlucky day as early as the 14th century. Geoffrey Chaucer wrote in the Canterbury Tales, "On the Friday falleth all this mischance." The first specific written reference to Friday the 13th as an unlucky day was in the early 20th century by novelist Thomas W. Lawson, called Friday the 13th. Ironically, a ship named after Lawson was caught in a storm shipwreck on the night of Friday the 13th, 1907. Ooh, coincidences, huh? Not all cultures believe Friday the 13th is unlucky. In Greek and Hispanic cultures, Friday the 13th is considered far more... Tuesday the 13th is considered far more ominous. In Italy, Friday the 17th is spookier than the 13th. So, if you go to Italy, watch out for Friday the 17th, right? Or Tuesday the 13th, if you're in certain other cultures, right? Bad luck on Friday the 13th may be self-fulfilling prophecy. One 1993 study found that hospital admissions or traffic accidents were 52% higher on Friday the 13th than on Friday the 6th. But also, this might also be hogwash. A German study found no spike in hospital admissions or procedures on Friday the 13th. Interesting stuff. I know this is all kind of, but I'm giving you a little background. You know, okay, well, you go into Friday the 13th, and at least you know where it's coming from, right? Superstition can result in economic dip. Donald Dossley, founder of the Stress Management Center and Phobia Institute, says U.S. businesses lose millions of dollars on Friday the 13th because some people are reluctant to leave their homes. Now I'm going to get back to you guys in the chat room and callers and everyone in a minute. But that's the question. What do you think about Friday the 13th? Is it something like, oh, I'm going to stay home today, I'm not going to do anything? Or, yeah, it's kind of fun. It's you know, I got a black cat. She jumped on my lap. Uh-oh. Oh, no. But so what do you think of Friday the 13th? Do you have superstitions? Do you have superstitions? Like, my little one is, I don't step on cracks. Because when I was a kid, we used to play around, step on a crack, break your mother's back. So even now, just in a playful kind of way, I avoid walking on cracks on the sidewalk. I know it's kind of silly, but I don't do it. And I got the monk thing about touching, you know, objects. Like, I don't know, maybe staying grounded. I have no idea. I think I watched too much of that show. And, okay, I got another one for you. Here we go. Okay, let me get this one to you. Bubble wrap. Can you resist popping bubble wrap? Seriously, can you resist it? I remember there was an episode of Monk where there was this whole warehouse full of bubble wrap, and the man had, it was, you know, they were trying to solve a crime, a murder, and he had to go through every one of the bubble wraps before he could get to the scene. You know, pop, pop, pop. So can you resist popping bubble wrap? That's one of my little things. I don't know if that's a superstition, an obsession, or whatever you call it. I say I have a caller. I'll be with you in a second. Let me get through the rest of these, and if I can find where I was at again. Okay, I have something really interesting. Okay, let's see. Mary Kay and Ashley Olsen, Julia Louise Dreyfus and Steve Buscemi were all born on Friday the 13th, and so is Taylor Swift. And I got a little Taylor Swift thing I think you'll find interesting if you know who the singer is. 25% of Americans say they were very, very somewhat superstitious in a 1996 Gallup poll, and 9 said that they were very leery of the number 13. Interesting, young people were more likely to be superstitious than older people. Okay. So I gave you the word for superstition, the phobia. So I'm going to turn my thing around, and I'm going to play the actual pronunciation for it. So that's about less than a minute, and I'll take a caller after that. Thought I'd have some fun. Let's see if this works out. Let's see how this works. Okay, here goes. Let's see if I can get this to work.
Periscevi decatriophobia is the fear of Friday the 13th. And apparently, if one learns how to pronounce the name of this disorder, one will never suffer from this disorder again. So, Periscevi decatriophobia. And people who suffer from this illness are Periscevi decatriophobics. So, for those of you who are afraid of Friday the 13th, here's how to do it. First of all, it's a really long word, so break it down into syllables. When you take a look at that middle I after the V, it's not pronounced I or I. It's pronounced like a double E. So, Periscevi decatriophobia. Anybody can do it. You can. Periscevi decatriophobia, and never fear Friday the 13th again.
Well, hopefully you heard that. I don't know. Did you? I don't know. It's kind of an interesting word, isn't it? I'm just having some fun today, you know, making fun of Friday the 13th. Can you hear me now? Hopefully I got everything plugged back in the correct way, and we're doing this. Okay, yeah, we are. Okay, that was a little sound check for Friday the 13th, make sure everything didn't go wrong. Okay, I know you guys kind of listening. Do you want to talk? Okay, I know. But I want to give you one little thing about, I thought was really interesting about Taylor Swift, the singer. And this is her thoughts. I was born on the 13th. I turned 13 on Friday the 13th. My first album went gold in 13 weeks. My first number one song had 13-second intro. Okay. Ooh, that, you know, 13, 13, 13. Oh, the performer was even sued in 2014 by the clothing brand Lucky 13 for selling T-shirts on her online store with the phrase Lucky 13 on them. Yeah, you got to be careful what you do. You can get sued, you know. But she's a bubbly figure. That's a whole different story, right? What else about that? Okay, so I think that's pretty much it on Friday the 13th. You know, that covers all of them. Everything you needed to know about Friday the 13th. And I thought that was really interesting. I had never known about this idea that it was Friday that Jesus, you know, was crucified, and that there were 13 people at the Last Supper. And so it was kind of like, whoa, okay, interesting. Maybe that's where it came from. Okay, let me take a couple of calls. Then we'll talk more about love because I won't be here Saturday. So we'll talk a little bit about more love, about what's going on. And then I got the ultimate menu for love. Yeah, ooh. And then we'll talk about some other things. I got a bunch of stuff. Let me clear off my deck a little bit, get rid of some pages and articles that I don't want to talk about. Again, we're done with, okay. What is that? Oh, never mind. Okay, I'm going to take a call. Hello?
Yes, hi. Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Well, happy Friday the 13th. Are you superstitious at all? Anything? Anything at all? And who am I speaking to?
No.
Really? You don't step on cracks or you don't avoid ladders? You ever walk under a ladder?
No.
See? You avoid them, right? Or you just never go over their ladders, right?
Yeah.
That's more like it, right? So, but yeah, they said the majority, a big percentage of people are superstitious. So what's going on? Your first name again?
Alfina.
Alfina. So what's going on with you? Mm-hmm. What is going on with you?
I'm just wondering right now about relationships.
What about him?
Well, there's a person in my life right now, and I'm just wondering what you see
let's get into it. What's the person's first name? No, I want to go to we don't do last names. Always first names.
Can I just give you the initial to his first name?
Yeah, that's fine. I'm trying to get his energy. See, I'm trying to read his soul, and I'm trying to read his intention from inside him. I'm not, you know, what spirit talked, kind of read him and see what he's, so I need to connect as best I can with his energy. I'm trying to get it off of you, too. So what is intention? That's the question. What's his intention? So he's been kind of evasive on intention, huh? Obviously. Or you would know, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, men are that way. We're kind of jerks that way sometimes. We hold back things because we don't want to make commitments. The word I get around him, this is kind of strange, but the word is timing. It's about timing from him. This is life about timing. Everything has to be in a time. Everything has to be in the right time for him. Do you know what I mean by that? The energy I'm feeling here is, I don't know, I think it's you or him, but there's a controlling energy here, like it needs to be controlled, the situation, okay? And so the bottom line question is, does he care about you? Is he interested in you? And would he step forward at some point in his life, right?
No, I guess the question is, like, what do you see happening from here? Because...
Okay, I'm gonna be very careful. I'm gonna be very careful with what. I'm more about how, and when. What is? I believe in free will. I believe in the law of attraction. I'll give you a percentage or odds because what your soul wants you to happen wants not from your higher self, your soul. You want to be in this relationship, and your energy is pulling this relationship into your life. Is there a very good chance of that happening? Yes, absolutely, positively.
Can you give me some background on the situation?
Yeah, well, let's don't take too long, though. I got other callers, but yeah, let's just go ahead.
Well, he's an ex fiance. We had plans, stuff happened. We broke up. We've been apart now for 5 months. We had communication here and there. I kind of just cut all contact with him for a month, and I recently got back in contact with him. So I'm just wondering, like, is this something that's going to
let me go back to work things out. Let me go back to that original word I said to you: timing. Yes, timing. It's about timing.
Okay.
Timing. And if it to give you a general timing, it really has to do with free will here. It really has to do with manifesting what you want. Does he want to be in a relationship with you? Yes, but there's some timing involved. And it feels like he doesn't want to be pushed or rushed. He wants to control the timing. So if there is a good month for you, I'm going to give you a good month, okay, this year, it's July. Okay, see what happens in July. Just hold on to the promise of what you want, but wait to July. That's a few months away, right?
I think July. That's like a long time. It's like almost over a year, so I don't.
Well, I get the month of July. Just see what happens, okay? Take care. Bye. Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, I did a lot of psychic readings for years and years and years and years. And predictions about future are very difficult because I am really a law of attraction person. I believe we create it. I could have told her lots of things about how to do it and what her soul wants and what his soul wants. But to get into predictions is difficult. There's something about her in July that was really important. So we'll see what happens. But so that's the thing I avoid is, oh, yeah, by some date you're going to get together. I can never say no, that'll never happen. That's like saying, you know, it's like telling God, oh, I don't want this to happen, even though you want it to happen. I don't want it to happen. And maybe you don't want it to happen. Okay, I know. That just raises the red flags in me about really, really, really got to manifest what you want. And sometimes maybe she'll fall in love with somebody else in July because July is a big month for her. Yes. Okay. Sometimes when you get things for people, it's not what they particularly want, but it's what's going to happen and what will be significant for them. Okay, I'm going to go off on that one. I'll leave that one alone. I'll let it go. Okay, I know. We want to fit things into a box sometimes, and the box is not ready to be fit into. Ooh, that's a good one from Spirit. That was their thought. I like that one. We always want to fit things into a certain box and create a certain thing around something, but the box is not ready. Okay, let's take another call. Hello?
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 Yes.
Welcome to...
Is this me?
Yes, and who are you? Do you have a name?
Davina.
Do you have any superstitions? This is Friday the 13th.
No, I don't have any superstitions.
Really? Okay. None at all.
No.
None at all. Okay. So, yeah, that's kind of interesting. I think we all, sometimes we do things and we don't, you ever knock on wood? Nope. No knocking on wood?
No, I just think, like you said, the law of attraction, I think you can curse yourself or bring.
Okay, so what's going on with you today on this beautiful Friday?
Well, I was wondering, I have a review with a medical board, and I was wondering if I was going to lose any money.
Whoa, wow. Okay, you say you believe in the law of attraction, right? You accept it, right?
Yes.
Okay, your energy fear, you have fear energy here, right?
Yes, I do.
So you need to let go of the fear energy. You need to visualize. What do you want out of this whole thing? What do you want? What would you want from this whole thing?
I want to just keep what I have, my benefits that I have, and I don't want to lose any.
Okay, go. So what you need to continue to visualize and pray on is that the day after, everything will be wonderful. You'll come out smiling. Visualize yourself coming out of the hearing smiling. Okay?
Okay. All right.
I don't want you to predestine yourself and create that energy that I'm going to lose money. Right? Wants you to lose. The universe does not. Your soul does not want you to lose money. Your soul wants you to keep the money. Okay? Your soul is saying, no, this is not your destiny to lose money.
Okay.
If I can put it in that frame, maybe that'll help. Your soul is saying, no, you want to maintain your level of money. Okay? So that's not, there's no destiny of losing money. But the free will part is that you can create a negative energy around it, and uh-oh. Got it?
Yes, I'm still here.
So you need to be very positive about this.
Okay.
Because your intention is to maintain and actually increase your soul wants you to be prosperous. Yourself wants you to be prosperous. Beyond anything you can imagine.
Okay.
Okay. Positive.
Okay. So
know, soul, that your destiny is not to lose money.
Okay. All right. Great.
Okay. Got it? Okay.
I got it. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye.
You too. Bye.
I guess that's a better way of saying, what does your soul want? I guess that last lady before her was like, the old, what's going to happen? Is he love me or am I going to get together? I'm not trying to belittle the lady, but I'm just thinking because that brought back like thousands of readings that I've done where people were all about, are we ever getting back together? I should have answered that. Let me, if she's still listening and if anybody's, okay, we'll leave that one alone. That one just kind of bugged me for some reason. I don't know. So what's going on in the chat room, guys? What's going on? What do you want to know? What do you want to know about your soul? Happy pre-Valentine's Day. Yes, it's going to be a beautiful day. Anybody have any questions about your souls and Valentine's Day or love or anything like that? Are you going to create love? Are you going to create more love in your life? Okay, so I got these articles. I have an interesting article I think I'm going to cover now. It's from Pam Grout, who wrote a bunch of books, and E squared and E cubed. She's a writer. She's been writing on all kinds of themes and subjects, but she writes a lot about not just manifesting, but living a life of, well, love. Okay, so let me find her article, if I can find it real quick. She wrote about love, and I'm going to kind of go through the article. And it was a reminder about this whole idea that love is not just about romance. Love is about love. There's lots of things to love. And I'll give you a couple of examples she wrote in the story. Well, I'll get your love in a moment. Let me go through Pam's information. This is kind of a couple of nice stories, and it emphasizes that there's lots of ways to show love and lots of ways to manifest and demonstrate love in your life that have nothing to do with Valentine's Day. Okay, take Dale Price, for example. This stay-at-home dad from American Fork, Utah, has spent the last 3 years waving at his high school son's school bus dressed in weird costumes. a different one every day. It started the first day of his son's sophomore year when he realized the bus, for the first time, would drive down their street. Price greeted the bus and his embarrassed son that first day wearing a football helmet. From there, his creativity grew. He has waved at the bus dressed as Elvis, Fred Flintstone, Santa Claus, and once a lampshade. He and Rain, the red-faced son, ended up on Good Morning America and the resulting blog, Wave at the Bus. He has received millions of hits and raised money for Rain's college fund. Although his dad is quick to admit, it may also end up being used for therapy. Now, why would he do this? Because he loves his son. Because not that he wants to necessarily embarrass his son, but it didn't really get into the explanation about him sensing or feeling the energy here. He did it to have fun. He did it out of love. And it was a way for him showing a connection to his son that and the byproduct of all this, he's raised a lot of money for his son's college. How fun. So is there so many different ways to show love and to express love, not just Valentine's or a heart or whatever? I'll get back to your question about Valentine's Day. Okay, you know what I hear for you, my friend, about Valentine's Day and love for you? Well, I'm reading your soul, and I really believe it's your soul, or maybe it's somebody else who's in the chat room. It could be all of you. I don't know. But I'm hearing this, that your soul wants you to admit love or express love. But I think admit love to someone, just tell somebody, I love you. Now, is it necessarily the man of your life? Nah, not really. But your soul is wanting to do this day of love to admit it to somebody. I love you. Sincerely, deeply, and I really feel it in my heart that this is what is meant to be said by maybe all of us, to tell somebody we love them. Sincerely, deeply, with a lot of passion. Okay, so that's the message I get. So admit love today on Valentine's Day. No. You decide who that's going to be. You decide. Who does your heart say to admit love to? Okay, now this is a little bit of personal responsibility in this. Or you could say I love you to everybody. I mean, do everybody. You know, throw it all out there. I love you, I love you. If you love two people, then say it to both of them, right? But the soul wants you to. So there's the ego, the resistance, the fear. The ego, the fear is saying, I don't know, I want to do this. So that's your message. So you can take it or leave it or discount it or whatever you want to do with it, but that's the message. Admit love to someone. And if you're not, and if it's not in a romantic, family members, friends, somebody, say, I love you deeply, fully. So if you love Nick, somehow, some way, you have to put that energy out there. Okay? Okay, so let me move on here. Let me go to the next article. Or take Dale Harding, who fell in love with traveling. In 2003, while in Hanoi, his traveling buddy videotaped him dancing, a rather kooky, arm-flapping, most popular with adolescent boys in middle school dances. And then he videotaped Matt dancing in toga and in the Philippines, Mali, and in the Panama Canal. The video on resulting Where the Hell is Matt? It's a website, shows a grinning Matt bouncing up and down in 69 countries. What's more, the underlying, if unplanned, message of the unbounded human joy and connection comes across loud and clear. There's no sounds on the video, and I'm not trying to get anyone to do anything, Harding says. It just makes people happy. Now, we'll go back to this whole idea that if you just show love, express joy in some way, and you'll touch other people's hearts, right? It's like the guy in the school bus, you know, wearing different outfits. He touched people's hearts and souls with his joy, with his love of life. It's love of life, really. That's what it's all about. The point is, there are lots of ways to make people happy, lots of ways to love. Don't sit around waiting for your soulmate. Now, this is Pam Grout's expression. Don't sit around waiting for your soulmate. Be crazy with love. Love when it makes no sense. Love in all its bewildering ways, shades, and styles. Ooh, I like that. It's a really great little article, and it really expresses the whole theme of this time of year. I mean, there's a special person, you know, soulmates, all that stuff. That's cool. That's all good stuff. But the key here is show love, express love, be love to everyone around you. And to answer people's questions about love and to attracting love and to getting love and going back to that original caller, which, yeah, if you are love, if you express love and joy and show the express love of living, you're going to attract people who do the same and feel the same. Because isn't it all about, in our lives, attracting like-minded people, attracting somebody at the same vibration we're at, you know, discounting all the people in the past and letting the past be the past and don't worry about the past. It's about attracting what you want, and if you're love, if you're absolute love, you care about life, you express love in so many ways, like, you know, and just exhibit love and just exudes out of you, you're going to attract that. And you're going to attract people at that same vibration. Now, is it the lover? Could be. Is it friends? Absolutely. Is it family members? Yeah, who knows, right? But it's about being love. Be love and you will attract love. And that's a simple principle of the law of attraction, right? Just be love. Okay. And that's how it works. Very simple thing. Okay, so what was I going to do next? I don't know. I'm just going to, you know, any other questions about love? I mean, other than, will he ever come into my life? You know, and the universe would say, and God will say, and your soul will say, yes, you're here to be loved. You're absolutely here to be loved. We're absolutely meant to have partners. Sometimes it doesn't feel like it's ever going to happen, but we're absolutely meant to have partners. And to have love, and whatever, however it shows up for us. Okay, I'm going to lose you. I don't know if I'll lose you here, but I'm going to get into more of the Valentine's Day kind of fun stuff. And I'm going to get into, well, kind of change the tone a little bit and talk about this is from the Today Show, the food section of the Today Show, the ultimate aphrodisiac menu, what to eat and skip to keep the sexy in sexy time. And the article is written, this is kind of interesting, and Gwyneth Paltrow, the actress, and her editors on it's GOOP.com are suggesting chocolate sex bark, a treat that seems conventional enough until you realize that the recipe calls for pricey ingredients like sex dust. Okay, now let me tell you what it is. An herb preparation that costs $60 for 4 ounces and claims to send waves of blood to all the right places for both men and women. So look it up. It's at GOOP.com. Look up sex bark. Okay, $60 an ounce for 4 ounces. That's quite a bit. That's a love potion, right? That's a kind of a pricey love potion. Is it worth the gamble to buy sex dust? Okay, I don't know. Restaurants are trying to lure in couples with Valentine's Day menus designed to amp up the mood. For example, as homage to the upcoming 50 Shades of Grey. Now, anybody going to watch that movie? I'm kind of curious, but I don't want to go by myself. It's kind of like, no, I'm not going by myself. And I'm not going with my daughter, obviously, so I don't know. It's okay, whatever. I'll go see it. Maybe I'll wait. I don't know. Customers at the Sullivan Steakhouse locations can slurp oysters with other reported aphrodisiacs while blindfolded with a tie to heighten other senses like taste and smell. And even a quick search for Twitter for aphrodisiacs will bring up a flurry of recent results like Brazilian piranha soup, as well as more established ones as chili peppers and dark chocolate. But even if a restaurant or home-cooked meal is loaded with aphrodisiac ingredients, they won't be much help if you're left so stuffed that you're nodding off between bites of dessert. Yeah, so it's moderation, as they're saying. Moderation is the key to Valentine's Day eating. The menu below suggests will help you separate aphrodisiac myth from reality and leave you with enough energy to follow dessert with a special kind of encore. Okay, so I'm going to give you the ingredients at their suggestion and kind of a diet that a menu kind of Foie gras, if you know what that is. Don't do the foie gras. Do oysters. Rich foie gras, and anything rich, any really rich foods would just kind of fall into places. So that might taste luxurious, but Amy Riley, a master of gastronomically diplomat of the Cordon Bleu and author of Romancing the Stove, the unabashed guide to aphrodisiac foods, warns that on date night, it would stall action in the bedroom thanks to the fact that a small serving of a lot of fat, that fat is the stuff that over time slows blood flow, which is essential to the games of love. So anything that's rich in high fat rich foods, whether it be whatever they mentioned here or anything else, may not be the thing you want to have if you're in thinking about another romantic evening. So this is not the way to start your night, she says. Go ahead and order those dozen oysters. Not only are they fun and suggestive to eat, they're packed with nutrients that can help during a romantic evening. They offer a lean source of protein to help you, to give you energy all night long, in addition to offering the body zinc, which helps blood flow. Yeah, zinc has always been attributed to, you know, kind of getting the thing going, right? Okay, which helps blood. There's some evidence that in the amino acid found in oysters and the other bivalves can directly raise sexual hormone levels, says Riley. Okay, so avoid the really fatty foods for those romantic setups. Have something that's rich in protein, okay? And look for zinc in your food. Wow, that has a lot of zinc. Oh, there we go. Aha. Yeah, okay. And then, wait a minute. Okay, let's go. Main course. That was the appetizer. Yeah, right. What an appetizer, right? Okay, that's the appetizer. The main course. Don't do the lobster, thermidor, seafood, and spicy whole grains. Riley says that although historically lobster is considered a passion igniter, when cooked with butter, cream, and egg yolks, it is transformed into kind of a main course that makes for a long, good nap. Not a night of passion. As an alternative, she suggests fresh lobster, shrimp, or spot prawns that have been simply steamed or sautéed to accent the sweet, briny flavors of the ocean. So if you're looking for a side dish, try a spicy salad with whole grains, which will prevent blood sugar crash and the resulting drowsiness. So you don't want to get your blood sugar up, pumped up really high, then boom, crash. You fall into bed, go, okay, lights out. Okay, so this is for your romantic Valentine's Day. I know we're talking about love, I'm talking about romantic evenings, a little bit of ideas about food, right? This will not only give you a wonderful texture contrast, the heat from the chilies will raise the body temperature, get you in the mood to fling off all your clothes. Okay, that's okay. Okay, so we're past the main course. So you got a seafood thing going on here, you know, and everybody has their different aphrodisiacs that they like. So this is just some ideas. Dessert, chocolate, death by chocolate cake, or chocolate fondue. And I like, this is kind of an interesting thing. I don't know if you guys are still with me, but it's kind of fun. So just take some hints there. One of these might work for you. A simple, elegant pot of fondue allows you to feed each other while indulging in fruits like strawberries, blueberries, figs, and papaya, which are rich in purported sexual performance boosting vitamin C and E. You want to finish the meal with something energizing, and the cake is going to slow you down later, says Riley, which suggests saving it for a festive night with friends. So you don't want to, we're back to this whole idea that you don't want something really heavy and a lot of fat in your dessert. You want something light, fruitful, high carbohydrates that'll spark you up. Okay, so drinks. Wine pairings with every course. Don't do it. One or two glasses of wine or a single cocktail followed by espresso. Ooh, that's it. Wine can make a wonderful partner to romance, but alcohol is a depressant, and overindulging can make you feel sluggish, sleepy, or worse, says Riley. Yeah, and it has a bit of, tends to turn it off a little bit and kind of cause the whatever to go. So she recommends limiting your consumption to at least one shared bottle of wine or champagne, And if your coffee drinkers order 2 espresso shots with dessert, coffee has been studied for its ability to get women especially in the mood by speeding up the heart rate, increasing blood flow. Ooh. Okay. So that's some suggestions. What do you think? You know, anybody have their own kind of little thing that tricks to kind of, you know, food-wise to stimulate themselves? I know you guys are going, what is he talking about? Okay, so, yeah, I want somebody to look up sex dust. I mean, I didn't get a chance to get some time on that, but, yeah. Sex dust. Gwyneth Paltrow, huh? She divorced recently, didn't she? She was married to a gentleman singer, Chris Martin. Yeah, whatever happened. Whatever happened to these romances? Not enough sex dust, I guess. That was the problem, right? Anybody, any questions, any thoughts? Anybody wanted to call in? Anybody want to talk about romance and love? And any suggestions, any aphrodisiacs that you would use to get you in the mood? I mean, tomorrow is Valentine's Day. We're being date appropriate here. So any suggestions? They say to oysters, and I've read oysters on the other point, that some people say oysters don't do any good. Yeah, they're just a waste of your time. Yes, I'm just thinking. Just something was coming into about that whole thing. Let me see what Spirit has to say. What would they suggest that you use as an aphrodisiac? You know, I get the kind of the impression or energy that eat light. Don't eat heavy. No, don't eat a lot of food. Eat a lot of fruit and share fruit together. Yeah, a lot of fruit could cause other problems, but that's okay. We'll leave that one alone. Let's get into some other articles. Okay. Let's talk about the dreadful possibility. You know, you're with your partner and it's going to be a romantic evening and there's erectile dysfunction. That just sounds terrible, doesn't it? Now, you might think, why would we talk about this? Well, what if it happens? You need to understand a little bit more. So, it's a quiz. So I'm going to take the quiz. I think I went through part of this, but I thought it'd be kind of fun. We're talking about romance, and nothing kills romance in a romantic evening like when, oops, it's not working. So erectile dysfunction is a normal part of getting older, true or false? And the answer is, I said true, and the answer is false. Erectile dysfunction, not being able to get an erection or keep it firm enough to have sex, happens to older men more often. But aging itself doesn't cause it, and growing older doesn't mean giving up sex. Even men in their 90s can be sexually active. And I give you a yahoo to that one, right? If this happens to you, you're not alone. Half of the American men over 50 have reported some level of trouble with erection. So that's kind of a contradictory answer. Yes, it can happen as you get older, but it's not necessarily true, and it doesn't necessarily permanent, right? They're basically saying. If you wait for an erection, it means you don't have ED, and that the answer would be to false to that, I think. Okay, it doesn't like me here. The answer is false. Some men with ED can get an erection when they sleep. It usually is a sign that their ED is caused by stress, depression, or something like that. Now, the reason I go through this, and I'm thinking, well, a lot of women listen to my show, and I'm thinking, you know what? It's always good to know this stuff. You know, if your husband has a problem or your boyfriend has a problem, it's good to have this information because then you can go, yeah, okay, I know, it's normal. It's not that big, you know, it's not that huge of a deal, right? It's not the end of the world. It's not the end of our, you know, sexual relationship. So, or something like that. So, if you don't have nighttime erections, that usually means your ED has a physical cause. Okay. A common cause of ED is smoking, too much exercise, and I don't know the other word. I just, like, it looked at me like, well, I don't know what that is. I would say smoking. Am I right? Yeah, smoking. Smoking and doing drugs can get in the way of erection, especially if you've done them for a long time. A few glasses of wine might put you in the mood, but drinking too much too often really can put a damper on your sex life. Quitting these habits, exercising, eating better, and getting off of stress can help you in the bedroom. And I do know that high blood pressure and high blood pressure medications can have that effect also, so it's kind of frustrating. Anytime you have a problem getting or keeping the erection, it is considered ED, and the answer to that is false, I think. The answer, false. Being tired, distressed, having problems with your partner, drinking too much can make it tough to get an erection. And it's normal for that to happen once in a while. See your doctor, however, if it's an ongoing problem. So ED really is, and you can't just classify it as any time a man just can't, you know, whatever, function. It really has to be an ongoing problem. And the doctor will help you figure out the cause and give you treatment options. More oysters, right? Yeah, more oysters. Yeah, okay. ED lowers your sex drive. False. Let's see. Oh, the answer is true. Sex drive goes down with men and ED. If you're not as interested in sex as you used to be, your testosterone levels may be low. A blood test can find that out. And I don't know what my blood test said about that. So I have to, maybe I got my chart somewhere. Most men with ED don't have low T. Most men with ED don't have low T. But if you have low T, you're probably the cause of your ED. So if you have low T, your doctor can prescribe certain things for that. Okay, creams and patches and so forth. Low testosterone. You know, and I found out through reading and working with people that if men who lift weights as they get over the age of 50, just weightlifting will boost testosterone. So weightlifting, doing lightweight, you don't have to get, you know, you don't have to be a muscle builder, but that act of using and lifting and doing things physical that are, you know, resistance type of weight work will actually boost your testosterone. So you tell your husbands that or boyfriends that, or if that affects you too. ED can mean you have a higher chance of having heart disease, lung disease, lung cancer, or dementia. ED, heart disease, I don't know. I don't know about that one. Let me get a guess. Let's see if I'm right here. Heart disease. ED can be a sign that you're at risk for another health problem. Heart disease, stroke, high blood pressure, or diabetes. A narrowing and hardening of your arteries is the same disease that can cause heart attacks and strokes, can cut off the blood supply to the penis. Of course, ED doesn't always mean you have a serious health issue, but your doctor should make sure. So, yeah. So there's a correlation between certain heart disease, and I mentioned that earlier, and then diabetes. Okay, I'm getting through this. What ED treatment is best? Pills, counseling, injections? I'm going to guess at that one. And the correct answer is injections. If the idea of injecting medicine to your penis gives you the willies, okay, that's a play on words, you're in good company. Injections work the best for ED, but they're also understandably the least popular. They work for 80 to 90% of men. However, don't hurt as much as it might sound. Most men say it feels like a pinch. They're a good option when other treatments haven't worked as well as you'd like. Suggesting that to a man, I'm going to shoot an injection into your penis. It's just not something you just kind of like, oh boy, that sounds like fun. Yeah, okay, I'm running to that one. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Oh, that was that one. That one hurt. That the thought of that one kind of like, whoa, baby. ED can be a common side effect of allergy treatment, prostate cancer treatment, kidney stones, and I would say prostate cancer treatment. Yes. Nearly all men who have had radiation or surgery for prostate cancer will have ED at first, at least for a while. The delicate nerves that run along the prostate control your erections. Anything done near them would affect your sex life. But there's good news. About half of the men who get surgery that doesn't damage the nerves and radiation have ejections again within a year. So, you know, it's not the end of the world, right? Prostate surgery. Why do men with diabetes have a higher risk of ED, nerve damage, low blood pressure, both? I'm thinking nerve damage. Yeah, nerve damage. Diabetes can damage blood cells and nerves, which can cause ED and other problems. Men who have diabetes are 2 to 3 times more likely to have ED than men who don't. If you have diabetes, lower your risk by exercising and keep your blood sugar, blood pressure, and cholesterol in check. I just find this whole thing fascinating, and I know you guys are thinking, well, what's he doing this for? But, you know, to have knowledge is really, really, really important, especially if you have a partner or a friend who has this problem, and it's not the end of the world. It's not the end of the world. There are solutions. Blood pressure medicine can cause ED, and I believe it can. True. ED can be the side effect of a lot of medicines, including blood pressure and heart drugs. Antidepressants and tranquilizers. Drugs can affect hormones, nerves, and blood flow. If you're on a new prescription and you think it's causing ED, stop taking it. Ooh. But do call your doctor. They might prescribe something new. Yes, I do that. Okay, we'll go. Bills for ED make it tough to control erections. True or false? And they're talking about Viagra and all that stuff. False. If you take Cialis and Viagra and other pills, don't worry about getting erections at awkward times. These pills work only if you are aroused. They generally help even 7 out of 10 men with erections and no doubt, with confidence. Men with ED often try these first because they are easy to use. Yes, right? Viagra. Yeah. Yeah, that could be embarrassing, but no, we'll leave that one alone. We'll just not go there, right? I'm not doing well in this quiz. I'm really not. The ED okay. The ED treatment has been around for more than 100 years is penile, whatever that's called. Well, I won't go there. Penis pumps and penile implants and pumps, I think, are what it is. Okay, penis pumps. And I won't, I'm not going to bother you with penis. I'm not going to go there. I'll leave that one alone. Yeah, that's whatever. Okay, we're done. Okay, that was fun. It was interesting. And I think, Different, totally different, right? Are you guys still with me on this? Yeah. You guys are still laughing about sex tests. I hope that helped. I bring that up, when I thought about using that article, I thought, well, that's going to be kind of weird, talk about ED and all that stuff. But I thought, you know what? To have information like that, even if you're a woman, to know what your boyfriend, husband, whatever is going through, and be prepared with some thoughts or ideas that it's not permanent, then there are alternatives. And maybe, hey, dear, maybe your blood pressure medicine is causing some of your problems. Ooh, maybe you should talk to your doctor about that, right? Idea, right? Okay. So what are we doing next? You know what? Oh, I only have a few minutes. Any questions? Oh, I got about 5 minutes left in the show. So if you have any questions, any thoughts, anything that you want your soul to tell you about what's going on with you, just give me your name and your birth. I know my friend here has been asking a lot of questions, and she's in a little turmoil about relationships and where to go. And I keep saying to her, follow your heart. Really follow your heart. Follow your own soul. Listen to yourself. Listen to yourself about love. I talk about the ego all the time, and the ego being that personality, that survival thing. And the ego wants us to do things that it wants us to do. It wants us to do what seems to be the survival, what seems to be the quick solution to a situation. It isn't necessarily the soulful solution to a situation that's based on the soul's overview of who you are and where you're going, your life path, your life chart. And so if you want to learn to tune into your soul and tune into a higher self and to get an overview, especially about love and timing, and that's the way to go. Yeah, and take sex test too, but that's besides the point. it really is all about that. It's all about just tuning it. That's what I'm all about, is tuning into the soul, tuning into the higher self, and going from there. And whatever questions you have about love, your emotions, your feelings, you can feel it. Your body will feed back to you. Your body will always feel back to you what your soul is trying to tell you. How does it feel? What are you feeling about this? You really get in touch with your body. Not so much your mind, but your body. What is your body telling you? Does it feel good? Does it feel right? Is your heart feeling good about that particular subject? Or is it feeling kind of yucky? So feelings are an expression of the soul. The mind, getting the mind out of the way, getting the ego out of the way, is the way to tune back into the soul. And I know that seems to be rather complex, doesn't it? And there's that question of what is it mind or soul? Is it mind or soul? Ego or soul? But you know the difference. You know how you feel about a subject. As long as it's not fear-based, that's the big thing. Is it fear-based? Then it's probably from your ego, right? Okay, so that's it. So any other questions about love? People tune in for a couple of minutes. Okay. And my friend, just love yourself deeply, fully, completely. Just express love. Just express love. Feel love. Be love. Just be love. And when you are love, when you are expressing love, not to particularly to an individual, not necessarily to an individual, but be love, you're going to attract love. Absolutely, positively. Every time, you will attract love if you are love. If you're angry, frustrated, you're going to attract more of that in your life. If you go around with a chip on your shoulder, I'm not saying you, but in general, chip on your shoulder, you know, angry about things, all you're going to do is pull back anger into your life. But if you go around with the idea, and this, we bring this up for Valentine's Day and this weekend because it's a good time to think about just being love, just expressing love, doing things that are love-based, and that we talked about this a couple days ago, this whole idea of do something nice for somebody that needs your love, for a child, for a shut-in, for the elderly, for sick children. Just show love to other people, and the rewards will be amazing as to more love in your life. If you give love, not necessarily to a specific person, but give to somebody you want to attract, but just to give love and express love and do little loving gestures for people, you're going to attract much more love in your life. So you're going to get love. If you believe that if you feel that you're always giving love and expressing love and showing love to other people in some way, you know, just offering kind words to people, doing little things, love will come in your life. Absolutely, 100%. You know, and then we'll go back to this word timing, because people don't like timing. They all want it like yesterday. But it's all about timing. It's about the universe aligning things so that you can have the love that your soul wants you to love. And for you and everybody else here, your soul wants you to be in love. Your soul wants you to experience and feel love. Okay? That's absolute. Your soul wants you. Your soul is a bearer of love and wants to feel you having love. That's your God self. God wants you to be love and to feel love through you. We are those receptors of love for God. God feels love through us, always. So be that receptor by being that mode of love constantly. Okay, it's been an interesting show. It's like kind of different, a little disoriented, a little out there in some ways. But I really wanted to cover some of this stuff, talk about some of these things. I know I got off into a little different sidetrack a little bit. But I appreciate those who've stuck with me and listened to the show. And hopefully you've got some ideas and some thoughts. little menu things, a little, hey, have some fondue with some chocolate. You can make your own little fondue. You don't have to get a fancy one, right? Get some strawberries and chocolate on it, right? Something like that. Berries, ooh, blueberries. Okay, so it's been fun. I will see you on Monday. Have a beautiful weekend. Have some fun. Hope it's really romantic for you. Bye!